한번 예보고 예보고 있을고 아멘. In today's gospel reading, Christ talks about marriage and what marriage is. And so often, unfortunately, we have the wrong understanding of what marriage is. For many of us, those who have been married or are married know that marriage, as they say in English, is no picnic. It is difficult. You must work for it, and you must try your best for it to succeed. It is not 100% or 50% and 50%, but it is 100% from both sides. But unfortunately today, many people feel that marriage is either a fairy tale, where we live happily ever after once we're married, or, and we get this impression from TV, from movies, and from books. And then there's another way of looking at it. Many people feel that marriage is just a contract. It's a deal that can be dissolved with a signature. And that we think that when the circumstances change, so does that marriage change. It ends. But our faith teaches us something very, very different. Our faith reminds us that it is not easy, it is difficult. And for many of us, it seems like a crucifixion. But remember that after the crucifixion, there is resurrection. Our faith teaches us that the institution of marriage has always existed, and that it was established at creation with Adam. Adam and Eve were created for each other. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis, Adam was alone. God saw this and knew that it was not right that he was alone. And so he brought every animal before Adam to find him a helper. And the Bible goes on to say that he looked and he could not find one that fit. So then God puts Adam to sleep, and he takes a rib from Adam, and he fashions a woman out of that rib. And he brings it to Adam, and Adam exclaims, "This is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This shall be called woman, for she was taken from her man." And they are joined together, and they become one, and they help each other. Tradition says, and so often we think, that the rib which God took is from here. But our tradition teaches that the rib from which God took came from near the heart. And the church fathers write about this, and they say that God did not take a piece of bone from Adam's head and create a woman, for so that the woman does not rule over the man. But likewise, he did not take a bone from the foot, so that man and husbands would not rule and trample over their wives. But rather, God took a bone from the heart to show and to demonstrate that that woman will always be under his arm for protection and will be his beloved. This is why in Armenian, spouse, the word for spouse, is often referred to as Golhagits. Golhagits. Gol, which means rib, and geets, which means connected. So a spouse is one who is connected to you by the rib. Very often, unfortunately, we forget and do not notice that in the Bible there is another Golhagits. There is another spouse who is created from a man's side, from a man's rib. And when we read the Bible, we may not notice this at first glance. But our church fathers saw this, and they realized that God created another bride in the Bible. And we can see this in the icon of the crucifixion.
Check out.
It's a Greek icon, that's why. The Armenian ones have it. But in the icon, it shows that when Christ is pierced with the gehat, with the spear, and it goes into his side, it shows that two things come out of his side, blood and water. And when these two come out, the church fathers read this and they interpret it and they say, this is the creation of the church. The blood symbolizes Holy Communion, which we receive every Sunday. And the water that comes out is the water of baptism, that makes us Christians. The two foundational sacraments of the church are created and established at Christ's crucifixion. And so the creation of the church, we, the people of God, are created and we are married to Christ God at that crucifixion until today. This event of the crucifixion and the creation of the church through Christ's side and the bleeding of the blood and water from his side shows us three very important truths. The first is that we are bones of his bones and flesh of his flesh. We were created from God. The Bible tells us that we are created in the image and likeness of God, but also through the crucifixion and the establishment of the church, we have become married to him. He is part of us. And this happens for many people. Those that have been married for many, many years end up becoming their spouse. They end up acting like their spouse, speaking like their spouse. And this just happens over time. And this is true also with God. The longer we stay in God's presence, the more we become like him. We also learn that we have been fashioned to be helpers to God. Just as Eve was created to be a helper to Adam, likewise, we have been created as a church to be helpers to God. And as helpers, we are here to make the gospel a reality in this world. He, too, is our defender and our protector. And we see this when we talk to and we address a celibate priest. We go to a celibate priest and we refer to them and we say to them, Asvads Opnahan, may God be your helper, reminding us that God helps him, but you also are a helper to God. And he responds, Asvads Bahavan, may God be your defender. That is what a marriage is. Marriages are helpers and defenders, one who helps and one who defends. My father-in-law would always say, Mega Bambat Musa Zangat. One has to be like cotton and quiet. One needs to be like a bell and noisy. But never yet you should have both of them be Zangats at the same time. You should not have two bells at the same time, and you shouldn't have two cottons at the same time. One needs to listen and one needs to speak. And this is true also with God. One is a defender and one is a protector and one is a helper. And he helps us. At the same time, we also defend his name in this world. And vice versa. We help him and he defends us in this world. And then finally, in a marriage, we learn also that relationships with God are just like marriages. They have their ups and their downs. They have their good times and their bad times. They have their blessings and they have their sorrows. But through all of that, they remain together. God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never divorce us. And as much as we want to divorce him at times, as much as we are upset and angry with him, I'm trying to think of another synonym in English for it. Frustrated with him, or mad with him at him, he will never forsake us because he loves us so much that, as we saw, he was even willing to die on the cross for his church that had already forsaken him and left him and moved on to other gods. And he still laid down his life. And this is what St. Paul writes in his epistles, that the man must love his wife as Christ loved the church, even to the degree of laying down his life for his wife, who may hate him, but still he loves her, because they have been married together. So as we leave today, I pray that those who are married grow stronger in their marriages. And those who are not married, I ask and I pray that you remember, as all of us, married and unmarried, we remember that we are all married to God, to Christ, who loves us so much that he laid down his life for us, and we are created for him, and he shall come back again, just as he always says in the Gospels, when the bridegroom comes, let all those be ready for his coming. We are waiting for the bridegroom, the groom, to come back and take us to the wedding feast in heaven. Amen.